Whenever you're ready, Helen.
Can you hear me?
I can, yeah.
Okay, I've got these new headphones that have a mic in. It's a bit weird.
I've got some, but I don't know how to use them. I'm still trying to. The I can't belief still affects me, you know, when it comes to technology. I'm like, so anyway.
So it might be a bit rambled because it's something that it's like a sticking point that comes back for me. I'm generally, I'd say, fine with the world is, and people. I'm less concerned about the ins and outs of people, and because I have this kind of, when we get to the point, it's animals. No matter how many times I look at it, come at it from different angles, you know, like it's because I believe they're innocent and humans have karma but animals don't, and that's what bothers me, or it's because something about I feel like I can save animals. But whenever that's my big trigger is when I, you know, polar bears or the orangutans or whatever it is, the koalas, I can't help but not get dragged into this is wrong. Like these are innocent, they shouldn't. So I just wondered what question I could have in that moment. I mean, this is very helpful. And listening to you talk to Sharon was really helpful about it's just a belief in separation, it feels like. And I'm trying to get at it from all these other little angles and beliefs. And really, there's just the underlying belief is just I'm separate, perhaps. But I wonder if you could help me get through that.
If you can see that you're drawn to this area because you have something to give, right? It's not just a place for ego to push against reality. It's actually there's a real devotion here because there's something you want to give here. You know, what that is, we don't know, and it will see it as it unfolds, you know, and the same for every one of us. But if you can see that you are disempowering yourself from actually making a difference by calling something right or wrong, you know, we all have an idealized view in our mind of what we would like the world or, you know, the animals, how we'd like them to be treated in this particular thing that we're discussing. And then to look at the other, how it is now and sort of give it that label of being wrong. Then the very fact that we're doing that, we're going into separation. We've divided reality into two halves, right and wrong, which means we've become disempowered, which is why it feels so bad. The amount of disempowerment we feel in any moment will dictate our emotional state. Actually, the emotions are a frequency of how empowered or disempowered we are. So you can look at what's happening in the world around the animals and get excited that you can make a difference. You don't have to automatically look at something and feel bad about it. Now, it doesn't mean you're agreeing with it or condoning it or accepting it at all. But to look at something and go, this is where I can make a difference, right? Then you're empowered. You can get excited and begin to bring something powerful into the world from that place. If we look at something and we agree that it's wrong and it's bad, it's kind of an arbitrary thing, isn't it? It's just where we're starting from rather than being right or wrong on this sliding scale of behaviors and things happening that we'd really love and you know, those that we'd really hate happening. You know, so if you can see, it's just where we are at on a continuum, a spectrum of all kinds of human behavior towards animals, that type of thing. Then you're empowered. You know, if I came to satsang really feeling extraordinarily upset by the amount of suffering that's going on in the human kingdom, I would have no power at all. I would be in force then, I'd be in separation to actually make a difference. When an awakened being acts and moves and speaks from the place of truth, it has to manifest. You know, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God. You know, that's a literal thing. Our words have to, as the truth, have to, when aligned with truth, have to manifest. They have to. There's no way they can't. So that's the reason to kind of step away from labeling it. Because let's say, right, you spent the next 10 years working with animals and changing the way that human beings perceive them. You know, and there's some wonderful examples already out there. You know, people that are educating. Marcy told me about that. My octopus teacher, I don't know if you've seen it on Netflix, you know, and it was like, wow, that's so cool. You know, the sentience is actually that it's not just the cat, it's not just the dog or an octopus, it's actually the pure sentience. And there's a remarkable intelligence in there. If we see this as a dumb animal, then we'll experience that. But if we're open to what it actually is. So let's say you spent the next 10 years really making a difference. And then at the end of that 10 years, that the society, humanity really viewed, you know, they were actually open to perceiving animals as they actually are, right? If I asked you then at that point, you would say, yes, it's better, but here's the next thing, next 10 years worth of stuff I want to do. So we can't actually say there's any arbitrary point along that scale where we move from wrong into right. It's just this unfoldingness of less and less limited, less and less force, more and more loving, compassionate actions. You know, and there's that guy, I don't know if you've seen him on Facebook, he actually runs with the horses. Have you seen him? He won't ride a horse. He just runs around the field and the horses start to run with him. And then he goes for a walk and then they all start running, like 5 mile run. And there's all these horses running with him because he's connecting with them on a level that, you know, if it's just a horse for me to sit and ride on, but he's willing to change how he thinks and feels about it. And the rest of our thoughts might be in the right place, but just this one idea that what I'm seeing is wrong, it cannot be anything other than it has to stay the same if we're projecting that onto it. It's easy to think, well, I'm just one human being. I don't, you know, it doesn't matter what I think, but it absolutely does because you are the infinite self. Can you get a sense of it?
Yeah, I'm wondering, I still feel like I'm going to be overthinking it. And if there's a question, like one of the ones I was thinking about but I haven't really practiced with is like, what are the animals?
Good one here would be what is right and what is wrong, right? Because everything else is in place already. That's why you're feeling such a strong urge and commitment to this and interest in it. It's just this one thought. I'm not saying that you personally are causing all the cruelty to animals around the world, but all of those that agree that right and wrong are actual categories possible, are kind of contributing to that energy field. Because you're the self, you look at something and say it's wrong, it cannot be right. It can never be right while we're saying it's wrong. And reality is beyond both of those categories. You know, so you might still look at something and feel completely moved towards doing something about it, but not by pushing against it. Right?
Okay.
Where it is now is where it is, and that's the perfect starting place for me to prove. Pushing against what's already manifested and saying it's wrong is pointless and a waste of energy. You see, yeah, a different way of coming at the same thing.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that needs fixing about this. Everything else is already, you are already a manifestation of the world's desire to improve things. You know, otherwise you wouldn't find yourself in a class like this.
Right.
But just don't disempower yourself from actually making that change by going into separation somewhere inside your own thinking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good, good. I'm excited to see what comes out of that. Lovely. Thanks. Caroline?
Hiya.
Hiya, how are you doing?
Yeah, just to say, when you were saying that there was a shift, so I'd really struggle to talk about anything now. I just felt another, like, if there was nothing personal about me or anybody, which I knew that before, it was like it took the last bits. And I don't mean it as gone, I mean just like a bit of a bomb going off again. But it just, I thought, what I'm going to talk about, I can't talk about anything now, it's gone. I don't feel sad, I don't even know why I'm feeling like this, but yeah, it like blows it away, like it, yeah, it just blows it away. I don't know how that does that. I don't know how it does it really, but
Extraordinarily familiar thinking patterns that we still have for quite some time, don't we? Even once we've seen the truth, we switch on the nightly news or something, and what we think we see is other beings affecting other beings, and that is just, even for a long time after I'd seen what was actually true, it still is tendencies to go back to these type of thoughts, out of our love and compassion and wanting to make a difference. And once you start to see that that's not actually the issue, the issue is a separation that causes these types of behaviours, or that these types of behaviours come out of, then it does get very quiet, because your very being then is healing the world. Your very presence is already, what the body does to support that is going to be unique to each one of us, but the same truth is present in all, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's just that there's a feeling of being stunned, you know, like being hit by a bat, almost. Because during the week there'd been a lot of struggles with the homework, and I'd had to narrow it down to, which does coincide with what you've said today, but there'd been a narrowing down of the question, and I'd had to narrow it down to what is the mind, because it had sabotaged everything I was trying to do. When I looked at the mind, I realised the mind was just ideas.
And isn't one of our greatest myths as spiritual seekers that the mind is out there, separate to me, and can hurt me? Remember I said, there's nothing outside of us that can hurt us or affect us. Unless we feel it's possible, then we'll experience it. And don't we all experience that with the mind? The mind is, you know, my mind's driving me crazy. No matter what I do, it's just going at me. Can't seem to... When in reality, it's insubstantial, it's empty, it's made of thoughts, which are also empty.
Yeah. Well, that's
what makes it so influential then? Our belief that it is, mm-hmm. our belief that it is. There's something outside of me that can affect me. And we experience this first and foremost with our own mind. We make it into this huge thing with our conviction. And we keep experiencing it through causality, this thing affecting me. So we believe it even more, and around we go, you know.
Well, there was a looking at the ideas, and I was quite shocked that the whole world was just full of an idea, like a filter called an idea.
Where is the world? Well, where is the world actually? Isn't it between our ears?
It feels like... There's a projection of something that's completely untrue, that there's been a brainwashing into, almost.
You can actually live from that place where everything you perceive is peaceful and silent and quiet, harmless and ineffective, because the forms don't have any power at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's if I took some gold and made it into a ring and a necklace, the necklace itself has no ability to exist without the gold it's made out of. The forms are ineffective. They have no power at all. The beings that we think have power over us are powerless to affect us. Yet we experience it again and again, this idea called the world and other beings. We've been experiencing it since the dawn of creation. And eventually it has to become clear that I've been living the effects of my own imagination as the infinite self, not as a human being, as the infinite self. You know? And then it gets very, very quiet, because you simultaneously fixed everything. You fixed the world inside your head. It has to reflect out there, right? Immediately begin to. Even just from doing this class, we're going to see a change in the world. And then when everybody really sort of starts to kind of grasp this even more, it has to, you know, the old saying, you have to be the change you want to see in the world. This is what it's talking about. Like one guy, Mahatma Gandhi, in a loincloth, managed to stop the whole British army without a single gun. Why? Because he was coming from a place of power. He overrode the, you know, consciously stopped a whole army's worth of force. So it's so exciting to me that we can have this kind of conversation. Really get excited. That this is one of my dreams manifesting, this kind of conversation.
So there's sort of a feeling of being a bit, I don't know what the word is, mute almost, like, oh, I can't think what the word is, like, immobilised, that's it.
What we're looking at here is the fundamental underpinnings of the ego, isn't it?
Mm.
So it's going to be quite shocking
to
actually realise no being has ever been able to hurt me without my permission, unconscious permission, of course.
Yeah, there was a knowing of that, Helen. I know that. I think it's just that it's sunk in somewhere. It's in somewhere.
And that's all you got to do is just let yourself get hit again and again and again.
Yeah.
Mm. And every time it washes over you, it just leaves you in a different place, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Okay, we'll go to Bev.
Hi.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. I can really, really feel the power in everything that you've been saying, and I do feel excited about it. And I've had experiences where I have felt cocooned and like in the midst of just chaos and madness. And so I've had that experience, and I do feel that, if you know, power, you know, is an inherent part of my nature. And even recently I'm having more experiences of that. But also there's this part of me that has experienced, I guess, heartbreak when I was believing. And when I did have those experiences that were more just psychologically traumatic for me, I went straight to this place. Mm-hmm. And I think I ignored, you know, whatever that fracture was that was in me, I kind of like spackled it and kept going. And it was like, you know, went straight here where I think there was some healing to be done. And probably still is, you know, some healing to be done. So
I'm working through some stuff right now, some fragment of the psychic thing, you know, so, but we have to kind of go to the undivided place until we're established enough in that as that to look at these places where our psyche is fractured. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, because as a separate being, what we think has happened to us in whatever way, you know, is just too painful to heal from that, and impossible to heal from that place completely. We can come to accept it, maybe deal with the emotions around it, but to actually heal the root of it has to be done as the undivided self. And only once we're established enough in that, not to kind of revert back to that way of thinking when we start to look at this stuff. So it's very, very normal that there'd be stuff in there. Just discovered stuff in there that I didn't know was in there, which I'm looking at, you know, so. But it's not a traumatic experience then as a self. We can actually look at this stuff. It's like these things, these traumatic things happen to us, and it splinters off a fragment of our separate someoneness, doesn't it? And it's filed away in this box somewhere inside our consciousness that says, do not ever open again, you know, or else, you know. So you might notice those kind of things coming up, but the if you're not looking at it, it's because you couldn't yet. Mm-hmm. And if it's coming back now, it's because you can. Yes. From this knowing, especially what we talked about today, that, you know, for me, there was just this knowing that I've always actually been safe. I've just had a vivid experience of my imagination, you know, what I thought was possible occurring, you know. So only from that place could I actually look at stuff which was really just too painful to deal with as a separate being.
Yeah, and I feel that I'm starting to, from this work, and it is starting to come up more and more in just the strangest ways, but I think it's starting to be ready to be looked at, because I'm been in this space and in this place, and it feels, you know, it kind of reminds me of just, you know, the imminent transcendent comparison, in that there's this inherent place in me that already knows, that is already, you know, perfect. And then there's that transcendent part that's kind of like, I don't know, has been seeing it as something that is beyond, you know, and then there's this kind of merging that I feel that is happening, which is, you know, good.
That power and that love of the real self, it will want to heal this stuff. It wants the wholeness, doesn't it? It doesn't want fractured parts. But also that's done at the right time, you know, meaning stuff just starts to come back up, as you've seen, memories, stuff like that, right? Whatever it is that's happening. But because now, you know, what we had to consciously suppress this stuff or unconsciously before, because we didn't have the tools or the power or the loving presence to actually change it. And looking at it would only traumatize us more as a separate being, because it just proved how unsafe we actually felt, you know, or whatever it was that was going on. It's natural that stuff like this begins to come back up. But you can, with your default setting your identity firmer and firmer as the noumenon, as a self, then that power, it's a very different process of looking at it. It's more looking at, oh gosh, that's why that happened, or, you know, it's more of a seeing rather than, and there might be some emotions to work through with that, but it's a very different process than actually we experience as a separate being. There's stuff we just cannot deal with from there, you know, as that, you know, for good reason as well. It's, you know, this idea that something so horrible happened to me or something like that, we can't really look at that when we think it did actually happen to me, you know, in actuality. So,
yeah.
Good, good. Wonderful. Very good. I'll go to Amy.
Hi, Helen. I've got Bev's lovely face in front of me. I just wanted to clarify something and stop me. I know that we're talking about statements today, but because it's this power thing, I wanted to bring it up. I'm just clearing up some remnants of the masculine and feminine at the moment. And there's a seeming pressure in a situation. And I can see that that's not coming from the outside anymore. It's just, you know, it's arising in me. And I can see that there's like a feeling of not wanting to upset the person in different ways, but it was just a question on contemplation. So in that way, what comes to me is like, can this person, you know, can I be harmed by this person? And there was another one as well. Yeah, can anything hurt me? That kind of thing. Is that where you'd go with that?
Yeah, it's useful. It's always going to be your own feeling about the question. There'll be a question that really grabs you. But I spent some time really sitting with, is there anything out there to hurt me? Or is there anything that can affect me? Or, you know, those kind of questions, really, really looking at that. And with something like that, there'll be a lot of phenomenal, and you know, mind will have a lot of opinions about that and feelings, and even resistance to kind of looking at this kind of question will come up very strongly for most of us. Of course, you know what you're talking about. Of course, it can be, you know, look at my life type of thing. It's been happening over and over again. So that kind of question will really attack the root of it inside yourself, and you may have more phenomenal answers than you would to kind of other questions, but hopefully you can see it's really getting to the point of to the deepest aspect of the illusion.
Yeah, because it's really subtle. As I said, it's, you know, the person that's playing it out at the moment is even asking me, like, are you sure? Do you know what I mean? Like, but it's like there's something in me that's kind of it's feeling like I can't quite keep my alignment. Mm-hmm. There's something in me that's kind of, you know, buckling and not clear on it. So
It's only really to the extent that I'm not saying it's nothing, because it's experience, you know, it's quite a painful thing, but it's only really to the extent where we're still believing in otherness, in the fact that there is something other than me to affect me. The very moment I feel to any degree separate to everything else, I can't control any of that other stuff. I'll feel unsafe. I'm kind of at the mercy of it, aren't I? That's the kind of the place the ego is always coming from. And it even does that with the self. You know, that's why it resists waking up. It thinks that God is this big bad thing out there that's gonna, you know, do something to us or whatever. So that kind of question will, whatever questions are live for you, but also seems to get to the root of it, of the actual issue.
Yeah, because it is very subtle, but it just feels really uncomfortable, you know,
yeah. And the uncomfortableness is because we're challenging some of our greatest assumptions, aren't we, that every single human being believes, you know, that the forms have actual power, that beings have actual power to affect us. That's like the root of so much human suffering, isn't it? That right there, that one idea. And it seems extraordinarily true at first, until we begin to see, but it can't be, you know, and then it kind of gets deeper and deeper. And especially when it's playing out in your life at that exact moment, you know, and we're being offered the opportunity to either question or just to go the same old way with the belief. And the force of habit is to go the same old way. But if a question like that has come alive for you, then I'd definitely go with that, you know, really to look at it. And it should begin to bring a great joy in the sense that you were always safe.
Yeah,
you know, as it deepens inside, the only thing that anyone can ever do is to your body, but you've always been safe, and even that, the potential for someone to harm your body will begin to become less and less possible as you move out of this energy field of causality and separation, you know, through questions like this, what we've been saying today in general.
No, thank you so much for today. It's really deepened and cleared up a few things. It's really helpful, thank you.
Good, lovely. Thank you. Okay, we'll go to Doreen. Excuse me, Doreen, whenever you're ready.
Hi, Helen.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Thank you so much for this topic. It's so timely. I wanted to talk about, I think it was Thursday night, I chose to observe myself with the debate, not the debate, the two town halls for our presidential candidates, and really observe myself on how I was going to approach it, like just observe my inclination or my desire or my motivation to watch one over the other and why. And my motivation for not, or my defiance for not wanting to watch one. And so it was just really interesting just observing myself going through that process, and also realizing how I was surprised that I was bored by a candidate. I was surprised that there was some element of I found entertaining about another candidate. And yeah, so it was just all these things whirling around. And even as I continued to reflect on how I observed or what I was observing, I was realizing that the awareness of myself reacting to this is actually beginning to neutralize the impact.
Yeah.
Of how I'm taking it in. It's like there's something that's being neutralized right now.
Yeah.
And I'm not there yet because I also am aware of the sway that I'm falling into. If I get too engaged in it and not without that awareness, that conscious awareness, and how I'm just, there's a sway that I'm just allowing myself to go with. So I appreciate this talk today because it's you know, the way you talked about force and the pull of force, you know, I felt that, I can feel it.
Yeah.
And the awareness of power and how that represents itself and how that is projected out or not projected out. So it was just really interesting. You mentioned something about a couple of news outlets that you would suggest that we watch. Did you share what those were? I don't remember. Or are you going to share what those are?
Sorry, just say that again. I mentioned what, sorry?
Didn't you mention earlier, unless I misheard you, that there's a couple of news outlets that are more...
there's a couple. I can't remember the name of them, but if you Google good news channels, there's some on YouTube. I remember, it's been a while since I looked at them, but you know, just a quick Google will, they're alternative things run by, you know, just people with a website that make a point of, and some of them have got a lot of following behind, and you can donate to them, you know, if you feel, all of us, you know, to encourage them. They're just, let's just say only a certain type of story makes it into what we actually call news that we see on the TV, you know, and I'm not pushing against that. I'm just saying it'd be nice, especially the more powerful we become, the more we wake up, the more influence we're having, if we could put our attention on something positive also, you know, and everything from cat rescued from a tree, you know, down to this law didn't pass, you know, in Congress that would have been, you know, so everything in between that, because we have to be careful as powerful beings. Yes, we're not pushing against, we're trying to not make this wrong, but it's also good to put our attention on, there's actually a tremendous amount of positive things that are happening in the world right now, mm-hmm. but nobody knows about them, because mm-hmm. all we're fed from this mainstream news is negativity. And I'm not making that right or wrong. I'm just saying we also have a choice to educate ourselves, expose ourselves to things on purpose as well that are more positive. You know, and I don't hide from the news. Every now and again, I'll read the headlines, but I read the headlines, I get caught up, and then I'm done. I don't need to go into analysis about, you know, this, that, and the other. Like, you know, so it's just maybe to put some attention on what is. You'd be quite surprised just how much good stuff is going on in the world.
Yeah.
You know, it's really a heartwarming thing to do, even just in and of itself, for no other reason than it'll make you feel good. You know?
Okay. Well, thank you.
I think it'd be a good thing, you know, if you do get together and do these groups, you know, statement process for the world, also share the good news that you've had this week, the positive changes. You know, you might already be doing that when you all get together, but you know, I applied it here and this thing happened and this thing, you know, and like, you know, the things that you're breaking through from, like you've just said so beautifully, the more I'm aware of where I'm being controlled, the less it's possible, either being controlled by something out there or my own thoughts in here, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting because I really had to admit some truths. Well, I don't know, I won't say it's true, but I had to admit what I was really feeling.
Yeah.
Like I had to admit that there's part of me that was entertained, that is entertained by Donald Trump's way of being. I had to admit that to myself. And I had to admit that there's certain aspects of Joe Biden that I find very boring. So
the charismatic force, so to speak, beings is very seductive, you know. And I'm not making it right or wrong, but there is some part of all of our ego that wants to, that's why, you know, one charismatic being, even though it might be, I'm not saying Donald Trump is, but if you look at people like Stalin and Hitler, they have massive followings, and yet they were very low energy field because ego is seduced by this charisma, you know, this nice kind of feeling that we get. And it's okay, that is okay, and we don't need to judge it about ourselves. There's a part of me that wants to be entertained. If it wasn't so, then Netflix would go out of business tomorrow, you know.
And I also realized how that poll had nothing to do with the content of what they were saying.
That's so good. That is so good.
This has nothing to do with the content. I could be entertained. Yeah, it was entertained, but the awareness that the content was whatever it was, and even I'm bored, doesn't mean that I dismiss the content.
They took a homeless man off the streets of England, and they flew him over to the States. They washed him, showered him, shaved him, gave him this perfect top suit, you know, like dressed him to look like a professional. And then they literally told him line for line how to present this business meeting, to say, this proposal to a board of members of a company. And they said that he was the top consultant in the area, yet 2 days before he was on the street in England with nothing to his name. And absolutely everyone believed what this guy said and signed up for what he, and he was just literally memorized a script. And it was a kind of social experiment in that, I'm not saying Americans are stupid or English are intelligent. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that there's a part of us all that's seduced by glamour and ooh and ah, and, you know, and you can see that going on. And that the opposite sometimes is more true, isn't it? That the one that isn't seductive or appealing to ego at all, you know, is quite often there's something powerful there. So just to see that effect that the ooing and ahhing has upon us means you're coming out of it, you know. Yeah. And then you can actually look at those candidates from a place of the intellect and go, well, which one of them is speaking more what I want to align myself with, rather than being at this unconscious force, you know.
Yeah, it's like stripping away the gunk.
Yes, that's a very good word for it.
I mean, on all levels, both sides, just stripping it all away and somehow seeing what's really, really there. This past month felt like I've been very much observing myself reacting to the news. I did take about 2 weeks just to, I don't have live TV, but I got live TV for like a month, just to see all the various news stations and to observe how they treat the same event. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, this is amazing. So you do, and I stopped it because it's like, nope, I don't want to continue to do this.
Because I could feel it. If you even watch the news and actually discern what is fact from what is someone's opinion, you'll be amazed.
Like, yes,
if I watch an hour's worth of news, how much of that is actual provable fact and how much of it is someone's opinion, even an educated opinion, but still not actual news. You know, news is supposed to be what's happening, and it just gets diluted by all this other stuff. So it's a great experiment to do that, isn't it? It's
Yeah, I'm glad I did it, and I'm glad I don't have to do it again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can get caught up in 10 seconds, you know, if you flick through the headlines, you know what's going on, you know, so very good. Thank you for sharing that with us, and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Okay, any more, or are we all finished? Nobody else has a problem with Donald Trump or anything else? Dare I say those two words out loud? If not, we will take a quick break. Okay, so we will leave it there for now. And okay, stop this recording.